Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes, episode 69. David and I will be celebrating it by not doing a 69. Hi David, how are you?
Hey Kenny, I'm doing great. I would be a lot greater though if we were to do a 69. So how about you cheer me up right now, Kenny? By the way, that is an act I want no part of in general with anyone. that's just one of those sex acts I've never understood in the slightest.
Let me just say, never mind. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk about Monday Night. I'm not doing it. I'm not going there. You know, it's almost like, you know, when you go like, oh, have you ever watched a movie when you like take a bath together and then you go, oh, we should take a bath, and then you like knee somebody in the face and you're like, oh,
that's the worst idea. No, you can't do that either. No, that's terrible. No.
So I want to kick off the podcast by talking about one of our listeners. Now, this is a listener who I've currently blocked, but I may unblock depending on whether he has done what I think he's done. Now, I think the first part of this was probably my karma, because I did spoil the gender AJ finish. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that yet, but AJ Styles is the new WWE champion, just in case anybody doesn't know yet.
I know.
But the thing is, my defense that was, you know, I was in a wrestling group where it was a UK taping, and anyway, so I've been watching Stranger Things. Now, I'm not going to spoil anything about Stranger Things, so don't worry if you are watching the new series or you've never watched any. I'm not going to spoil one single thing. Do not worry. So, I've been watching the second season, and everyone's been saying, oh, the last two episodes are so crazy, they're so great. So I finally got round to the last two episodes tonight. Well, I've currently watched the second last one. And I just started the second last one, and this big thing happens at the beginning. So I tweeted out going, oh my god, and just did a gif, and that was it. And one of our listeners, Billy, decided to tweet me with a question mark of something that happens 20 minutes in that is like a big, big part of the plot, and gives it away. So I was pretty raging about it, and I was like, for fuck's sake, like, you've just given that away. And then he replies saying, I didn't know you hadn't got to that part yet, you Scottish fuck. And then he proceeds to give away something that happens in the finale episode. Which to me is bad Twitter etiquette. Especially, like, if you're not in, like, if I was in, like, a Stranger Things Facebook group, then yeah, I'm going to get shit spoiled for me. But anyway, now, breaking news, he has just tweeted me at the Inside the Ropes account saying, Kenny, I'm sorry, I was just joking. Please unblock me, I'll be good, I promise. So what I'm going to do, and we'll find out next week what happened. If the thing he tried to spoil in the final episode does happen, he remains blocked. If he is joking, then he will be unblocked. I think that's fair, don't you, David?
Absolutely. Just the idea of you giving this man a second chance, Kenny. Oh, it's warmed the cackles of my heart.
I almost said cockles,
which is the correct term, but I'm not going to talk about any cocks near you.
Oh, because you're such a magnet for them.
Well, I mean, you know, I take what I can get.
the big part of our sort of banter section this week is going to be you were going to come up with your WrestleMania 34 card that we asked
them as per your request, of course.
And then next week I'm going to come to you with my WrestleMania 34 card. I've kind of given myself a little bit of a head start because I'll get to do it after Survivor Series. But at the same time, I think they'll be really cool to see. A lot of people have sent us their own on Twitter and Facebook. We've both read pretty much all of them. So
yeah, like, even of course, if go back some really to you, good like, stuff through in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, my whole thing is like, there's one match. This is how I took the rules of it in my head. Right, I went, Reigns and Lesnar are in the Universal Title match. However, I'm open to additions to that match, but they would both be in it for me. I feel like if I'm going realistic, I can't really take them out of it. So that's
understandable.
That was my only thing that I went, okay, that has to probably stay because it's realistic. But the thing that was interesting when a lot of people were making up the cards, and it kind of goes to the point that I was trying to make, right, is that it is pretty much impossible to make a card where everybody is on it. or everybody of name value, you know, because then you make a card and all of a sudden, oh, Bray Wyatt's not on it, or Sami Zayn's not on it, or whatever. So it's tough this year. I think it's going to even be tougher than WrestleMania 33. So, but before we get into your WrestleMania card, I thought I would tell you a quick story, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Just about Scotland and about why I love to live here, if that's okay.
Sure. By all means, Kenny, you have the floor.
So, on Saturday, my mother and I've not told a Fiona McIntosh story in a little while, so I feel like she should be brought back into the fold of the podcast, right?
Of course.
So, my lovely friend Ollie had sadly lost his parent. She didn't, like, run away. She died. But, like...
Yes, yeah.
So my mum has kind of been like, okay, well, let's take Ollie out on some excursions and, you know, cheer him up and stuff. So we decide to go to the wonderful world of IKEA on Saturday. And,
Always a fun trip.
Always a fun trip. Now, Ollie had only ever been to IKEA in Singapore. He hadn't been to the one in Glasgow. And he basically... is so taken aback by it that he starts taking, like, videos of it because he's so amazed by it. He literally was floored by the size of it and everything. So we go for a sit down because we always go for food first.
Yeah, and we sit down. You got to dig those meatballs, man.
You got to go for those meatballs, right? So my mum decides. So I love to get the chips and gravy. My mum likes the chips and gravy also. Ollie opted for meatballs. Swedish, of course, and my mum decided.
Good option. Yeah.
And my mum decided to get a muffin to go with the food, and my mum at the end, so we'd eaten the chips and gravy, and we're sitting, and she's peeling back the cover of her dessert, and she looks at Ollie very provocatively and says, "Ollie, would you like a piece of my muffin?" And Ollie looks at her like, what the fuck did she just say? And then she all of a sudden's like, oh, what's wrong? I just asked if you'd like a piece of my muffin. You're like, you fucking innuendo bastard that you are. You just offered him a piece of your vag right here at the IKEA table and you had it in lieu of a chocolate muffin. But then what she does is she twists it, right? Because then if you say anything back, she'll go, I think you've taken that too far. And you started it. You offered my friend a piece of your muffin, and that's unacceptable.
I had my best friend came over one day, and my aunt's best friend was also over. It was like a little family get together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she turns to him and she hands him a taco, and she goes, "Would you like to munch on my taco?"
Now she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing.
She did. She was unabashful about it. So she was not bashful whatsoever. But unabashed.
What we need to do here is see these parents and these older people who think that they can do the innuendo and we need to feel uncomfortable. We need to do it back to them. That's the key. And then
yes, it is.
When they feel uncomfortable, you need to be like, ha, that's how we feel about you. That's how we feel about your shit.
My mother always had a saying, Kenny, that it's okay to be a smartass, but never be a dumbass. So always talk back to the parent folks.
That is good
so
advice.
So long as it's witty.
But then
so
the problem
be a
was
smartass,
so
not a dumbass.
I thought that I was all like, you know, king of the castle. I told my mom she'd went too far, you know, so I'm moving into a new place in a couple of days, and my mom has this kind of like way that she does. So if we're in IKEA and we're now in the downstairs department where it's like, you know how, like, parents never listen? So I was like, oh, I'd quite like a sofa bed, but I don't really want to spend more than £250. So she just points out all the £400-plus ones, no matter what, you know.
Sure.
Oh, this one's nice. How much is that? It's £470. Do you remember the conversation we had 95 seconds ago? No? So this continues, and then she's thinking I'm being a smart arse, and then, you know, we'll get into a section that's got, like, cutlery, and she'll be like, she'll just shout names of things. Oh, forks, spoons, knives, cups. Teaspoons, and you're like, whoa, calm yourself down. You've named 25 things. I've not even been able to respond to the first one. I'm very overtaken. And then she got her revenge. Because the thing is, as great as the chips and gravy were, my irritable bowel syndrome did not agree with the chips and gravy. And if anybody's been to IKEA, there is no easy accessible toilet. You have to walk through all these fucking sections with the arrows. And I took a wrong turn. I ended up in a bathroom suite. I almost was going to take a shite in the fucking sink. Then I had to run.
I took a wrong turn at one of their quote-unquote shortcuts and ended up like fucking at the very beginning of the thing as far away from the bathroom as possible.
It's like a maze.
It is.
So then I'm running through.
I'm waiting for like for Jack Nicholson to chase me with an axe through fucking IKEA.
Listen,
you know?
As long as he chases me towards the toilet, bring it on. So then, right, I'm running through this fucking place. But now the other thing is, I wanted like a full length mirror for my new place. Turned out I didn't fucking need it because there's one there anyway, but I didn't know this. So I'm running, needing a shite. I'm really, really... It's a point where I might just collapse in a heap of shit. But I do have the time to stop and take the note of a number and a name of a mirror and phone it to my mum through. I run and I finally get to the toilet. And, you know, as I'm on my way to the toilet, I let out one fart. It took out three people. I'm running towards, and I get to the bathroom, and I get in there, and it is Iran. You know, it is just, it's gone. So I do my business. I do my business, and I'm like, okay. Oh, you know that relief that you have? That post-shit relief. And I'm like, oh, this is tremendous. And then it happens. The flush does not work.
Oh no!
And you've got to make a decision. So I'm standing there going, right, okay, I'll. I'm not going to give up here. I'm not going to leave like an animal. And I try the flush. I kid you not, 16 times. I thought I'd try it as many times.
I thought I'd try it as many times as
Ric Flair won titles and Lesnar suplex Cena. That was my mind.
You should have went for the streak. I think
maybe that would have helped, right? Maybe that would have helped. So the thing was, I keep trying, and then I was like, right, okay, it's not going anywhere. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll take as much toilet paper as I humanly can to basically cover every single part of it.
Try to cover up the stench at least.
I mean, that wasn't possible. I almost passed out. But then I had to wait in there like a fucking shitey animal while people left.
So I could run out of there. You can't just wander out, no.
So I have to run out of there. And then by the time I'd ran out, my mum and Ollie had completed the entire upstairs section, sat down, and sent a couple of texts to pals.
Oh, no.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, I do not belong in IKEA.
No, clearly you do not. But, I mean, I
remember once I was in a British Airways flight going from Glasgow to London, and I knew I needed a wee number two, right?
And I thought,
well, I'll get on the plane, I'll wait till we're in the air, and then I'll go. And we get on the plane, they go... We've been delayed for 45 minutes. We're going to have to sit on the runway.
Oh.
And I go to get up. I go to walk to the toilet. And the woman, like, tries to tackle me like I'm a fucking United passenger. And she, like, comes at me. And she said, excuse me, sir, you're going to have to sit down. I said, I really need to go to the toilet. And she was like, sir, you're going to have to sit down. And I leaned in very close and I said, listen. If you want this entire plane to stink so badly of shite that you need to turn back to the terminal, I will stay in my seat. However, I would not recommend that. And she looked at me with half disgust and half respect, and she said, please be as quick as you possibly can. And I was.
Sometimes you just gotta tell it like it is, Kenny. For real.
I think so, right?
Yes. Without a doubt. Though, Kenny, we are on a bit of a crunch time today.
So it's time for us to get into your WrestleMania card. Let's get into it. I was
actually going to say, why don't we wait until next week after Survivor Series? That way we can see if any of this makes any amount of sense whatsoever.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Because the thing is, I am thinking about it. It is pretty unfair for you to do yours before Survivor Series, me to do mine after. So what I'm going to do is, you have a week to amend anything based on Survivor Series results.
I like that. And then next week we can get together and compare cards and notes.
I think that's a great idea. Let's do that. I think that's a good idea. So
completely.
Let's talk about Raw this week. A very, very stacked show, I thought. So lots to talk about. So, first of all, before we do talk about it, Neville may be on the way back, which is good.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had heard anything about that. I had not had a chance. I've had a busy couple of days, Kenny. I have not had a chance to look at any wrestling news over the past few days. What is going on with the Neville situation?
There have been positive conversations both ways. So, you know, it looks like he may be on the way back. So I guess they're going to be, working to help out with his... whatever his qualms were or his spots were. I don't know if that means he's going to go into the main roster, he's going to remain in 205 Live, or whatever's going to happen. But I hope he comes back, because I know that like guys like that would maybe rather go to the indies to like for the art of it, but for for the money, you're probably better staying where you are. Like just to, you know, and I think Neville genuinely could be more than what he is on the roster. So. That's pretty much that. Now, I also want to say very quickly, before we start covering this show, I don't really watch 205 Live much, because there's just so much wrestling.
Yeah, there's so much.
Tonight, they are celebrating the birth of a turd. They are celebrating the birth of that fucking Poundland Rey Mysterio, Kalisto. Why are we celebrating the birth of a big turdy fucking Mexican egg? Who cares?
It's got to be a joke. Whenever I saw that, it was like, we're going to celebrate Kalisto's birthday. I literally, Kenny, I've had a rough couple of days. I was so happy whenever I read that. I fucking cackled for like a minute straight. I couldn't even compose myself. Because that's got to be some kind of rib, right? There's no way that they're just going to do that. And obviously it'll get crashed. Any celebration always gets crashed in the pro wrestling, right? But man, oh man, that is hysterical. Let's celebrate Kalisto's birthday. Motherfuckers, you never celebrate anybody's birthday. When was the last birthday that got celebrated in wrestling?
That's very true. I mean, Hulk Hogan's birthday got celebrated in 2014, before Brock Lesnar came out and told him that party's over, Grandpa.
That may have been the last one, actually.
That might have been. The celebrating the birth of Kalisto, fuck off. Anyway.
How are you celebrating the birth of Kalisto, Kenny?
I'm going to take a shit. And the shit will have more talent and size than Kalisto.
Might smell a bit better too, actually.
Wouldn't fucking hurt. Raw opens up with Stephanie McMahon, again, the commissioner of Raw.
Oh.
She comes out, she says, you know, that she's got tough decisions to make in her role. She brings up Kurt Angle, she completely emasculates him. She talks about, you know, he's not a leader. He let a raid happen, he let the New Day get in last week. Angle said he didn't know how they got in there. She said that Shane pulled one over on him again. She then said that Angle led Team Raw out to face nothing. She brought up Jason Jordan being a fifth member of the team when SmackDown have John Cena. She asked how that happened because John Cena was on Raw last time. Angle said you'll have to ask John Cena that question. She then said that, you know, she asked him what's the first thing he's going to do at Survivor Series. He says he's going to break her brother's ankle. He says he's going to start the match. If Shane has any balls, he will too. Stephanie said that Kurt's too soft and nice, and she didn't even think he could break anyone's ankle anymore. She wants Shane's head in a platter, and she said that Kurt doesn't convince her and left her with no choice. Kurt Angle! And before anything can happen, the Shield's music hits. So before we get to the Shield bit, what did you think of Stephanie and Kurt Angle here? I mean, I can imagine, but what was your thoughts?
Kenny, if I'm going to be completely honest, whenever Stephanie goes on these tirades, this is the kind of stuff that drove me away from wrestling to begin with 10 years ago. Well, more than 10 years ago, 2001, 2002. Whenever it was her involvement, and now it's just amplified. It's gestated. It's worse than ever. She is a heel that never receives a lick of comeuppance. And whenever she does, it's in the form of some poo-poo spot, like a mud wrestling or some just crap. This is just so bad. This is the type of stuff, Kenny, that kills my love of wrestling. It's sort of like a Roundup or one of those chemicals that they spray on weeds that seeps into the ground and poisons the well water, you know, and just slowly murders you because eventually you're going to be drinking the water that came from that soil. This is the stuff that is the death of my happiness as a wrestling fan, Kenny. If it wasn't for ITR, I don't know if I could watch these segments. And if it wasn't for ITR, I don't know if I could continue watching just based on the aura of poison and noxious gas that surrounds these Stephanie McMahon segments.
It's funny because I actually think that Raw has been a great show recently. And, you know, if she's only in one segment or so, I can kind of handle it. But it's just like, I don't understand why she's booked like this.
It's really bad to start a show off on this foot, too, because it made me immediately just want to turn it off and never turn it back on.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, she is a good heel in the terms of, like, her delivery, but she never gets her comeuppance, so there's no real... You don't get invested in it, you know?
And, right. If the bad person wins all the time, then what's the point of having good guys?
Exactly. And then... the Shield's music hits, before Stephanie could do anything. They come down through the crowd, Roman's with them, big cheers for the Shield, they get in the ring. Ambrose said he heard Stephanie was looking for a leader, they endorsed Kurt Angle as a leader. Stephanie said, you know, Kurt's the reason that you guys lost the tag team titles, and then Stephanie turns her attention to Roman Reigns and says, you know, and you, where the hell have you been? Which is a funny line, and then Reigns... And another funny line, Return of the Fair said, where the hell have you been? Last time we saw you, your husband put you through a table. And, like, Rollins is just like, nope. He's just having nothing to do with it, which was fun. This picked up when the Shield came out, for sure, because they were allowed to stand up to her, which is always good.
Yes.
And nice. Reigns told Stephanie, you know, they don't do what she wants them to do. She needs to remember that. We do what we want to do, and they want to fight the New Day. And if the New Day have any balls, they'll accept... the challenge in Survivor Series. Reigns said that Kurt Angle would lead Team Raw to victory and we're going to whip New Day's ass and destroy them. I'm going to say something that might not be too popular. I thought Roman Reigns was really fucking good here. I thought he was good. I really liked him. And in my head I was going, he was quite good. Oh!
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement, Kenny. I hate to admit it, but the time away seems to have done him a little bit of good, I think.
And I think as well, like, it's just one of the, like, maybe he just needs to be in the Shield forever. Just let them stay together. Even if he wins the title, if he stays in the Shield, there's more chance people will like him. So I don't really understand why you would take him out of it if people enjoy it, you know? So,
The Shield are so much better as a unit as opposed to being fractured.
Yeah, and I think that they can be together and, I think that Roman can be the world champion and they can be the tag champs or singles champ, and I think it can still work. I don't think you have to have one or the other. And I actually think the story is more interesting if they stay together. I think that being back in the Shield and the time away has done Roman the world of good, and I think the crowd reaction to that proves it. I think that what's happening now with the Stephanie thing, I feel like what's happening, for me it didn't drag the show down too much. Because the rest of it, I thought, there was so much kind of strong stuff, and I think Survivor Series looks really good, so it didn't get to me too much. But I think that the role now seems to be Stephanie McMahon is able to just talk down to whoever the GM is forevermore.
And that's problematic. Why isn't she the GM if that's the case?
Well, that's fine. I just would rather the GM is not Kurt Angle if that's what the case is. But, you know, like... She's going to get her comeuppance at WrestleMania, and Kurt Angle's going to get his comeuppance against Hunter, and that's what it's going to be. But yeah, it just... At least the Shield got to talk down to her. That was why it wasn't a complete loss for me. It was a loss before they got out there, but the Shield, for me, kind of saved it. So, bad first half of the promo, but the Shield helped turn it around a little bit for me.
Yeah, no, it did a service to making this a much better show by having the Shield save it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, exactly. So then we had team, the female members of the Team Raw team, Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, Nia Jax, and Asuka at ringside, while Mickie James, Bayley, and Dana Brooke fought for the last spot on Team Raw. And my favourite spot of the whole thing was when Dana Brooke is on the ground and Asuka tries to help her up, and Dana punches Asuka in the face. Asuka looks at her like she's about to murder her, chases her into the ring and to the other side of the ring, and kicks her in the face with the best kick she's done in ages. And I feel like I fell in love with Asuka again. She's like, yes!
Just destroyed her. It was great, right?
It was so good. And then, predictably, Bayley gets the win. Bayley's part of Team Raw. Out of the three women, you know, I guess she has the most logical choice. But, yeah, the Asuka bit was really the highlight of it for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of chat about Paige returning. But, of course, she wasn't on the show, but she was all over social media. So, I mean, I guess she maybe spoiled her own surprise.
Yeah, not a good foot to get off on, you know?
I don't think so. But how do you feel about the Raw women's team for Survivor Series?
I like it. I think it's really good. Obviously, everybody wanted Paige to come back, but I don't know. Do you think that Paige might be on SmackDown instead?
I think she would be better on SmackDown. I think SmackDown needs her more.
Yes, that's what I was
thinking.
That would be my
take.
So
yeah, that would be my take on what they should do.
I would much prefer to see her on SmackDown as opposed to Raw, personally.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that she would be a better fit on Raw, especially coming out of Survivor Series and stuff. So I mean, I like the idea that we don't know, you know, because I'd be like, oh, she's returned on Raw. Oh, she was going to return on SmackDown, so she's just going to turn up somewhere. I'm ready for Paige to come back. I think she's good.
So, yeah. All the best to her.
They do a hype job for the WWE 24 documentary in Goldberg. I watched it earlier today. It is tremendous. I would thoroughly recommend it to anybody who enjoys those kind of documentaries. He's just a great guy, and it was a great documentary. So props to old Bill.
I'm looking forward to watching that one. That one will be really something to enjoy.
Yeah, you'll love it. There's Enzo Amore and Drew Gulak were backstage. They come out for a tag match. Enzo and Kalisto is going to be on the kickoff show, which is going to be 2 hours long. My God.
Ugh. I'm sorry, Kenny. I'm not watching the fucking 2 hour thing.
You're just going to watch the 4 hour thing.
Yeah, I'll trudge through the 4 hours, but God, I can't.
The thing is, the 4 hours looks fun. The 2 hours looks tedious. You know, it's like we know what we're getting, and the 4 hours should be good. But yeah, if the only thing to give me in the 2 hours is Enzo and Kalisto, then I'm maybe gonna. I mean, I can't.
Yeah, inherently, there is a problem with that scenario, I think.
And if anybody is in the London area, by the way, I'm going to be guest hosting the Hooked on Wrestling Survivor Series party this Sunday. So if you want to come to the Clapham Grand and watch Survivor Series, come along. I'll be there. And yeah, there'll be stuff. I don't really know what stuff's happening, but I'll be there, and I guess I have to do stuff. I don't know what.
You know, you guys, I may even give Kenny a few predictions as the voice of wrestling to dish out at that party. So if one of you guys is at the party, or gals for that matter, one of you guys or gals comes up to Kenny and says, what is the voice of wrestling's prediction for Survivor Series? I will give Kenny a very special prediction in private for him to distribute for your ears only. An exclusive scoop into the future based on a premonition I had.
So we know what t-shirt David's angling for from the fall collection.
People love the voice of wrestling. Did you know, Kenny, that I correctly predicted that Jason Jordan and Bray Wyatt would be in a feud very soon? And all of a sudden, look at this, they're fighting right now. And Bray Wyatt is injuring him, no less. I'm just saying, I think that the voice of wrestling has legs, Kenny.
Can it walk off a cliff? Is that possible?
Possibly. possibly, it depends how drunk you get, the voice of wrestling, David J. McCutcheon.
If this was, if we had like FaceTime or like Skype video while we're doing this, the amount of eye rolls I've done would be more than The Undertaker's entire 1999 run at this point. But, you know, you do you.
And likewise, I've done more hands-out gesturing than Bobby Roode has in the past year, so.
Enzo and Drew Gulak have a match with Kalisto and Akira Tozawa to the sound of nobody giving a shit. This was
horrendous!
It was boring.
Oh my god, I fell asleep 4 times and I kept waking up and I was like, this is still going? Fuck.
It's not good. It's not good. So basically, Enzo and Drew Gulak get the win when Enzo hits his finisher on Tozawa. Enzo and Drew Gulak are victorious. Blah, blah, blah. We then get Miz, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel walking backstage. Then Kurt Angle addresses Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Jason Jordan. Angle books Balor and Joe against Gallows and Anderson. He books Jordan against Bray Wyatt. He then... Oh my god. If you ever wondered why WWE verbiage is ridiculous, Kurt Angle is standing with Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman says, before Kurt Angle can say what he wants him to do, I want Kane. I want Kane. And Kurt Angle proceeds to not only call him Braun Strongman.
Well, he is strong and a man. Strong.
But he says, okay, you got it. He's talking to Braun Strowman here, I may add. Braun Strowman says to him twice, I want Kane. Kurt Angle's response, as if a regular person would respond this way, is, okay, you've got it. Tonight, the monster among men, Braun Strongman, will go one-on-one with the demon, Kane. Who talks like that? Jesus Christ.
Oh, just the worst. Like, so robotic and just unnatural. Ugh.
The Miz and the Miz Taraj are out for Miz TV. They bring out the bar. They basically cut promos on Corbin and the Usos about the champion versus champion matches coming up this Sunday. Miz cut a little bit of a babyface promo on Baron Corbin.
Yeah. I think that this will remain the same. I don't see Sin Cara getting that title tonight.
Can you imagine? Oh my god.
Yeah, Sin Cara versus the Miz. Ugh. So, but yeah, and
can we just start? Can we do a Kickstarter to retire Sin Cara? Like, if we all put in $10, he could go away, like, and sit on a beach somewhere and drink, you know, sangria.
To be nothing against Sin Cara, I have zero feelings one way or the other towards Sin Cara, but I can't believe that character is still going in the WWE today.
Do you know who he looks like? He looks like Mil Máscaras in the 1997 Royal Rumble, when Mil Máscaras was 59 years old.
Oh my god. Good lord.
It's bad. But yeah, I thought the Miz and Sheamus and Cesaro cut, you know, the promo was fine. Then we got Bray Wyatt and Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan was just nobody likes Jason Jordan. Poor guy.
Poor fuck.
Bray Wyatt is very over. But in the end, Wyatt goes for Sister Abigail, but Jordan avoids it and rolls Bray Wyatt up for the win. 1-2-3, and Angle's, you know, giddy backstage with Stephanie that Jason got the win. And then Wyatt hit Jordan with a cheap shot, and then he slammed his knee into the ring post. People were just going crazy. Thank you, Wyatt chants. Booker T was continuously, obviously, you know, sticking the knife into Jordan more and more.
I tell you what, though. I tell you what, right now, if somebody went and put a dirty heroin needle in his bag right now, dog, that'd be a shame. I'm just saying.
That is sadly accurate. Sadly accurate of Booker T. One of our listeners, James, was in attendance at Raw in Atlanta, so thanks for some of the updates, James. He said that one of the biggest reactions of the night was Booker T coming out, which it's baffling. Like, for whatever reason, when you're in an arena and his music hits, you still want to go crazy. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's because you don't need to listen to him on commentary.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to listen to him on commentary, and the best part about it, though, is it's just Booker T, right? Like, you get to hear his music. His music's great. Like, that was the best theme that WCW came up with. So you get to hear the Booker T music, the Harlem Heat music, and he gets to come out, and you get to go, oh, I used to love watching him wrestle, as opposed to, oh, God, he's going to talk.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So Jason Jordan kind of gets beaten up by Bray Wyatt. Fans sing the na 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 hey hey goodbye song to Jason Jordan. Which actually, so funny story, like, so on at the weekend, one of my friends said to me, do you want to go to this really, like, crappy pop concert? And I was like, yeah, sure, what is it? And they were like, Bananarama. And I was like, sure, oh, 80s Bananarama? Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I went, I was like tanning the double vodkas. So actually, I've got a wee story, I forgot to tell this story. So we're at Bananarama, and like, there was a support act, but it was just a DJ who wasn't really doing, like, he didn't seem like a support act, he seemed like the support of the support act. And I'm getting double vodkas and stuff, and then I go and get the next round just before they come on. And there's these, like, two women behind me. One is in her early 50s, one's in her mid-40s. And they were just like, this queue is fucking ridiculous. Look at the fucking state of this queue. It's like less a queue to get a concentration camp, if you ask me.
And oh my God.
And we're standing there, and then I turned around and I thought, for whatever reason, I would make conversation with them because I was just wanting to amuse myself. Now, there's a guy in front of me at the concert who is wearing legging jeans. And he's taking an Instagram picture where he's pouting, and I think he had collagen in his lips. Questions to be asked, but there you go. Each to their own. So anyways, I start talking to these women.
Kenny, you don't want gigantic, full, pouty lips.
I have quite good lips, actually. So I can just, like, smoosh my lips, and they look quite pouty, so I really...
What about if they deflate over time, Kenny? You're going to want to enhance them as you age. You're getting old. You're nearly dead.
I've always said I'm open to surgery. I'm open to a tit lift. I'm open to a nose...
Kenny, if I could give you one surgery, do you mind if I spill the beans what surgery I would give you?
Sure. This could be horribly offensive, but go ahead.
Ass implants.
If you gave me ass implants, you'd... No, because if you gave me ass implants, you'd want to tap it, and we can't have that.
Just the most ginormous peach buttocks. That's what you need, is a ginormous peach-shaped buttocks, Kenny.
I mean, I'm open to it. You know, so I'm talking to these women, right? And this is maybe like 20 past 8, and I think about 20 to 9. And the band are on at 9, and I said, "Oh, you guys enjoying yourselves?" And they were like, "Oh, aye, we're fucking loving it. We've been drinking since 12 the day. Oh, we've been drinking double vodkas since 12 o'clock." And I was like, "For fuck's sake!"
Oh, and, man.
And then the 53-year-old says, "I am here. This is my pal, and I'm here with my other pal. And I got his. It's her birthday next month. It's my birthday this month. It's the other one's birthday last month. So I got us all tickets." And she said, "Now we're in row fucking B, right?" And I said, "Right, okay. And we're in row E, so." But at the other side, she said, "We're in row B, and you only fucking believe it. We stood up just to take a fucking selfie, and the security guard comes over and tells us we have to sit down. I paid 85 quid for my ticket. I should be able to stand up if I want." I said, "You should. You absolutely should."
Yes.
And then she said, "The woman told me that you're not allowed. You're not allowed to use a selfie stick." And I said, "Look, you've paid £85. You're sitting in row B. If you want to take a shite in the seat, you should be able to. Like, you do whatever you want to do." So we're getting closer and closer to the queue. And they're like, "Are you enjoying yourself, son?" Because apparently I still look like a son. And,
yes, of course. Eternally young.
Eternally, apparently.
You're very youthful.
Apparently so. And so we're standing there, and they were making me really laugh. They were great banter. And they were like, "Oh, we went..." And so there's like a pub in Glasgow called... what's it called? I can't remember. I think it was like called Times Square or something. And it's like, it's not like the best pub in the world. It's not in any way classy. It's like one of the kind of rundown ones. And they were, "Oh, aye, we went to this time." No, it was Toby Jug, right? And Toby Jug is not somewhere you would take anyone of any sort of like credence.
Right.
And they were, "Oh, we're in the Toby Jug, and they've got fucking Oasis on. We're giving it fucking Yaldi." And I was like, this is tremendous. Giving it Yaldi means they were going for it. they were going for the dance. They were into it. And and we get to the front of the queue, and I decide I'm going to get a triple vodka and Diet Coke in a pint glass so that I don't really have to come back to the bar again. Because when you drink vodka, they give you those tiny glasses and it's like a shot. So as I'm kind of getting my stuff together, this woman just goes, right, Shelley, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm going to get 3 double vodkas for myself and 3 for you. I'll tan one on the way back to the seat. I'll have one when I get to my seat and I'll have one for the first act. And then we'll come back halfway through for another 3. And I thought, if I was drinking with them, I'd be dead.
Holy shit.
And then 10 minutes in, I saw them not only get up and dance, and I'm sure one of them got a tit out. But also, there was a man with a big banana. It's not a euphemism. Like, he had a very large banana. And she tried
was
to...
Was it Austin Aries?
It would not fit in his pocket, sadly. But then she tried to steal the banana from him. And it was just one of the best... Now, the whole reason I brought up Bananarama in this story is because, did you know that in the 80s, Bananarama came up with the song Na 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 Hey 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 Goodbye, and that's where it all came from.
What? No, it's not, Kenny. It's that's a Steam song. It was a Steam song from, I believe, 1970. Oh man, I don't know the exact year. 74.
Fucked me here because he was telling me that this was.
No.
Oh, fuck it! It's a Steam song, motherfucker.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Hey, by Steam, and it was. I want to say 74. Oh, 69. 1969. For
I mean,
Steam.
I've just looked at a photo of Steam, and 69 seems to depict what they got up to.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Why are they all in towels?
The original song, Kenny. I want you to listen to that song after we're done here.
And I'm gonna let it play out this week.
For there you go. Perfect. For the first 25 years of my fucking life, Kenny, I always knew that song, and I thought a woman sang it, and it was a man singing it.
Why is the cover? I don't understand the cut. I'm gonna for 1 week. No, yeah, I'm gonna put this on when I post this show on Twitter. I'm gonna post the cover to one of their albums, which is literally six men in towels.
Yes. Yeah. No shirts on, all scrunched together, and it says Steam because it's like they were in, like, you know, a sauna together. Yeah. And true story, they almost never wrote that song, and they despised that song because it's the only song that anyone knows of them, and it nearly didn't even make their album. So that is where the na 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 hey 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 goodbye song comes from. Just like me earlier, you know, the hey hey baby.
Ooh,
that song.
I want to
know. Yeah, I never knew the ooh ah version. I only knew the one from 1961.
You're so hip sometimes.
I didn't even know that there was a version in 2001, Kenny. I only knew the one, the very old version that predates the Beatles, Kenny.
Jesus.
That's how far my music knowledge goes. I'll tell you what I'll do.
I'm going to play at the end of this podcast about a minute of Steam's version, and then I'll morph it into Bananarama's version. And then you need to tweet us and tell us whose version you prefer, because my friend told me that was Bananarama that came up with it, and I totally bought it hook, line, and sinker. I've told it in a fucking podcast like a fucking idiot. Anyway.
It's all right. It happens to the best of us, Kenny. Like I said, I thought the man from Steam was a woman for 25 years, so I'm equally embarrassed.
I think looking at that album cover, the last thing Steam ever got near was a woman. We'll deal with all the Jason Jordan Kurt Angle stuff in one go around talking about it separately. But Brock Lesnar comes out with Paul Heyman. They want to do a promo about AJ Styles. Fans are chanting AJ Styles, Suplex City. Heyman said there's 5 selling points he's got of why people should check out the network for Survivor Series. 1, it's the first time in history AJ and Lesnar will step in the ring, maybe the last. 2, Heyman himself wants to see Lesnar versus AJ. And then when he was about to do number 3, he's interrupted by a She Said Yes chant. Somebody in the audience had decided during a Paul Heyman promo to propose to his girlfriend. So Heyman basically, like a fucking genius, pauses and says, "She only said yes because she hasn't been near the Beast." He's so good. And then he said, interrupting my promos like stepping out the ring with Brock Lesnar, you ain't got a chance. He then talks about number 3, Styles is the most talented in-ring performer of this generation. He does bring in Finn Balor, so a little tease that might still be happening. 4, AJ is the ultimate underdog, like a Rocky movie, but in Sunday this isn't going to be a Rocky movie because Styles can't survive Lesnar. And 5, Paul looks forward to pontificating on AJ putting on the performance of his life yet being conquered by Brock. Brock then shaked the hands of a couple of people at ringside in the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, can you imagine if Brock Lesnar comes up and shakes your hand? I mean, he told me to fuck off when I did an interview with him, so I can only... what did you think of Heyman and Brock's promo?
It was very different than the usual spiel that we would get from Paul Heyman, and just as good. It was fun. It was a offbeat segment, and then the marriage proposal right in the middle of it, very weird. The whole thing was just weird and strange. I was intrigued by it all, though. I dug it.
I kind of like when they go off script a little bit.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. I thought that they didn't have a whole lot to work with here, but then they kind of flipped it around and managed to get my interest with a very unusual babyface versus babyface program, which is kind of tough to book and tough to generate interest. But I thought they did an all right job. What about you?
Yeah, I liked it. Like you said, it was different. I'm very into AJ and Lesnar. I think it's going to be fun. I think people are over expecting what it's going to be. I think at best it will be a 10-minute match. I don't think that it's going to be a long match.
No, it won't.
Sadly, but I think it could be fun. I don't think it should main event the show. I think the main event should be the 5-on-5 men's match. Just because I think that's got a lot more going for it, and I think that that's got much more of a chance of delivering what people want it to.
Yeah. That is very fair.
But I thought it was fun. We get the Shield's final, their actual reuniting here against Sheamus, Cesaro, and The Miz. I love when The Miz runs away and Michael Cole's like, the Intercontinental Champion has just run away.
Yeah.
He just runs away like an absolute pussy.
As he should.
As he should. But in the end, he comes back and he ends up getting a triple powerbomb and gets pinned, and the Shield are victorious. So yeah, it was a fun match, and I think that this match was better to happen on TV than it was on pay-per-view, and a good win for the Shield going into their New Day match on Sunday.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fun. I think overall, Kenny, this Survivor Series, I've been reading some people talk about how it's boring and predictable and this and that. I don't see it that way at all. I think the Survivor Series is shaping up to be the best one in years.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I remember a few weeks ago, you and I, me and Sonder were both having conversations about, they've got to try and pick it up. And I think the last 3 weeks, the television has stepped up immensely in terms of, like, what they've tried to do. I think it's interesting. I think the matches look great. I'm really into it. Like, I mean, there's obviously, like, you know, Miz, Baron Corbin's probably not going to be a great match or anything. But, like, I mean, when you look at a card that you've got, the 5-on-5 women's match, the 5-on-5 men's match, AJ and Brock, the Usos, Sheamus and Cesaro, the New Day and the Shield. I mean, that's a ton of great stuff. So
yeah, so much. And it's just sort of strange to me that I keep on seeing a lot of people throwing shade on the card. And I'm like, guys, you're getting AJ and Brock. I mean, the intrigue there alone is really stellar.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because actually James Dixon, who was obviously, I do recommend all of you to go on Patreon, patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. He's been a part of some really great content over there. We covered Montreal in a way that, like, I knew going into it, people were going to be like, oh no, more Montreal. But I feel like we did do some fresh perspective and we did something a little bit different with it. So I do encourage you to check it out if you are either intrigued by the subject or you want to just hear it from a perspective of someone who's... He's spoken to pretty much most people who were in that locker room. So he's given you, like, the most kind of accurate description of what happened as you're going to hear without any bias. So, yeah, check those out. But he tweeted out earlier tonight saying, am I in the minority here in thinking the WWE over the past few weeks has been excellent? I really enjoyed last night's Raw and the Raw and SmackDown the week before. War Games, Survivor Series, and Raw 25 look immense too. And I think he's right. Like, there's a lot to look forward to right now. So,
yeah, for certain.
I think it's good. So Kurt Angle backstage is with Jason Jordan, and Jason Jordan says to him, please let me have the match. And he's like, I can't. I need you 100%, not 80 or 90. He was like, please, this is my big break. I deserve it, Dad. And then we're kind of left wondering what he's going to do. Kurt Angle comes out. He recalls Stephanie saying, you know, that he needs to make tough decisions as a leader. Jordan limps out onto the stage and he's pleading with him to not take the match away from him. He said it's going to be the first time he's fought side by side with his dad. And, you know, he won a Olympic medal with a broken neck and he's going to be fine by Sunday. And he said, you know, I'm just like you. I can do this. Angle said it's not worth it. He said it is. You know, you're my idol. I've looked up to you my entire life. And Angle's just like, doesn't know what to do. Stephanie comes out saying, give me a break. Kurt, tell me you're not considering this. Make the announcement now. Kurt can't bring himself to do it. And then I almost fell off my chair. Triple H's music hits. He comes out. Where the fuck did he come from?
Right.
And just blew the whole fucking thing out of the water. He comes out and he's in his suit. He gets in the ring. Him and Angle face off. He says, if you won't make the damn announcement, I will. And he said, the fifth member of Team Raw is me. Fans go mental. Hunter glares at Kurt. He turns round. Jordan's pleading with him. And Triple H hits a pedigree on Jordan. Angle's looking after Jordan. And Triple H leaves. I thought that, and I might be the minority, I thought Jason Jordan was excellent in his...
So did I! I'm so happy to hear somebody else think that.
I thought he delivered his verbiage and his side, and put it this way, I didn't really... I mean, I know I said last week it's good to see him in the match, but I wasn't like... It's not like I was like, oh, I can't wait to see the 5-on-5 just to see Jason Jordan, but he almost like won me over after all of his pleas, because I was like, yeah, he should be in the match. Let the guy be in the match. And then when they kind of fucked him, like I felt like it's just like, this is a beautiful impetus for a heel turn. Beautiful.
It is. Oh, it's so good. And then Kurt doesn't even do anything to defend his son. He sits there and he watches his son get pedigreed after he's just been fucking castrated by the two people who run the show. You know, mm-hmm. it was just riveting in terms of character development for Jordan. I thought that Jordan did a great job, too. He really excelled here. He knocked it out of the park. He did exactly what he had to do. Angle defending his son. Oh man, that makes him. Angle looks so weak coming out of all of this. Like, I lost so much interest in the Kurt Angle character because of what a coward he looked like coming out of this episode.
I mean, there's the conflict, right? There's the conflict of, you know, his job, his son. But the thing is, Kurt Angle kind of brought it on himself because he brought his son to Raw. You know, he brought his son in, and there's that kind of... I mean, I do think that the Stephanie Kurt Angle thing at the beginning was terrible. But, I mean, they're clearly building towards Kurt and Hunter at some point. But I think that the Triple H being in the team is a big, you know, name boost. But more importantly, I just think Jason Jordan, like, I thought he was great here. Like, really great. And I believed him, and I think that he did a really stellar job. And for how the fans react to him, I think that he really deserves a ton of credit.
It's so funny, too, because, like, Triple H is, overall, essentially the same character as Stephanie McMahon. But Triple H is an excellent heel by comparison. Why is that? Because people eventually kick his ass, and he does actually get his comeuppance, and no one can do that with Stephanie. So I would much rather see Triple H in that kind of role than Stephanie, because nothing can ever happen to Stephanie. As to where with Triple H gets his ass handed to him in the long run, and he disappears for months at a time. Why? Because there's consequences to him running his mouth and then losing, Kenny.
Yeah, no, that's true. I can't argue with you. I do want to bring up a point about the 5-on-5 match. So now the 5-on-5 match, I mean, I don't know if it could be any more stacked than it is. Team Raw is Kurt Angle leading himself, Triple H, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and Braun Strowman against Shane McMahon leading him, John Cena, Randy Orton, Nakamura, and Bobby Roode. I know some people have been kind of complaining about, oh, you know, it's a match with Triple H and Shane and Angle and Orton. But what I think is also important to point out here is that in this match, 4 of the 10 are the last 4 NXT champions.
Yeah.
Finn Balor.
How's that for something, man?
Samoa Joe, Nakamura, and I think guys like Nakamura desperately need this match.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Nakamura and Rude in particular, they're reeling as characters, and they need something. They need some kind of boost. Should we do predictions yet, Kenny?
We'll do it at the end very quickly. We'll do it at the end very quickly. But I do want to say, what's a testament to this match is that literally any five of either team could be in that ring, and I'm glued to the screen.
Yeah, and yeah, it's huge because you have returning stars like Cena and Triple H, blending in there with guys like Triple H in the ring against Nakamura.
Yeah,
like how cool is that?
Returning stars, authority figures like Kurt and Shane, up and coming, you know, guys on the main roster like Finn and Nakamura. Guys like Joe and Braun. Braun's in there, you know, like all these.
Braun versus Cena.
Oh God! And at this time,
by the way, spoiler alert: one of my matches that I have pegged for WrestleMania.
Wow. Okay. Well, I mean, that might change after Sunday, but for now, that is one of your picks because you still have time to change. We get Finn Balor and Samoa Joe against Gallows and Anderson. They win the match. When Balor hits the coup de grace on Anderson. And my favourite part of this is literally the second the bell rings, Joe leaves and heads backstage. I thought it was fucking sensational. He literally was not a team player one more second than he needed to be.
Yep. He was just in there for the bare minimum time.
Wow, so
bare
good.
Bare minimum contribution and got the fuck out of there. So funny.
So great.
Joe's just phenomenal, man. Just one of the best.
Yeah, he's, absolutely tremendous. Charlie Caruso interviews Alexa Bliss about facing either Natalia or Charlotte. She said that SmackDown became the B-show when she moved to Raw, and she said that she might show up on SmackDown and watch the match live. I think that Charlotte might win the championship tonight. That's my prediction. I think she may walk away with the SmackDown Women's title, because I think Charlotte and Alexa is a more interesting match than Natalia and Alexa.
It's definitely happening. The voice of wrestling has spoken!
Well, you spoke second. I just said it. And now you're gonna say you've said it.
Kenny, there's not too many fucking outcomes that can happen. Either one person wins or the other one wins. We're in agreement because we're both clearly vastly superior in intelligence compared to the average person, Kenny.
Wait to alienate some of the listeners. not all of you, because there's a lot of you who are very intelligent.
Anyone who is listening to the voice of wrestling is clearly highly intelligent.
Sure.
You have to have standards, Kenny.
Well, anyway, we'll not get into your standards. Kane makes his entrance to the main event. It's Kane versus Braun Strowman. The match doesn't even get to fucking start. They just start beating the shit out of each other. They just start absolutely killing each other. There's, you know, uppercuts out of the barricade, brawling, tables, chairs. When Braun Strowman picks Kane up for a running power slam, and they both just fall through the ring.
It's like some ECW style with Bam Bam and Taz, you know?
You could literally set this to the Benny Hill music and it would work.
Yeah. Just set it to the Benny Hill music and speed it up a bit. Perfect.
If anybody wants to do that, I'd happily listen to it and watch it.
Sure.
This was a nice chaotic ending to Raw, I thought, that, you know...
Yeah.
I thought this was a... I want to say this is one of the strongest go-home shows I've seen in a long time.
Like, I didn't like it as much as you did, apparently, but I didn't see anything wrong with it. There was some cool stuff on it.
I thought they got me more intrigued for the majority of the stuff. Any show that can manage to get Roman Reigns over as a babyface is a genius show.
also though, let's not shit on the crowd. Great hot crowd in Hotlanta. GA.
Great crowd, and they had to sit through WrestleMania 27, so, you know, I wouldn't have blamed them if they never came back, but they got through it. I'm going to give this show a 7.5 out of 10. I thought it was an above average show with plenty of kind of interesting parts to it. No, actually, you know what? I'm going to take it down to a 7 because of Stephanie. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's understandable. I was going with a 6.5, so that kind of worked out. The Stephanie stuff really hampered it, but the rest of the stuff was pretty good, you know, and Triple H's return was fun. The MVP of the show, Kenny, a little bit of a drum roll. Jason Jordan. I thought that Jason Jordan did an excellent job tying in numerous segments throughout the night, and that crowd wanted him fucking dead.
And I hope he screws the fuck out of Raw on Sunday.
And that I ultimately think that's where it's leading. A SmackDown will end up victorious on the men's side due to Jason Jordan's interference.
And it's
going to be brilliant.
I will be sporting my Shane O'Mac jersey on Sunday at the party. I'll be supporting Team Blue.
Oh, you're going Team Blue?
I'm going Team
Traitor!
Blue. I have to. I mean, I'm going Team Blue in the 5-on-5. But that's... Yeah, I don't really have a Raw jersey, and I think the Raw t-shirts look terrible, so. and plus, the Shane McMahon jersey was on sale for £8 a couple of months ago when I was pissing on Euroshop.
Oh, Jesus so. Christ.
Anyway, let's do predictions. Okay, Enzo Amore versus Kalisto for the Cruiserweight title. Go.
Gotta be Enzo! Fuck Kalisto! Fuck him on his birthday!
Fuck him on his birthday, fuck him on Sunday. I'm with you, Enzo Amore is the winner. The Raw women's title match, Alexa Bliss versus either Natalia or Charlotte. This was a difficult one, but whoever you think it's going to be, who do you think is going to win?
It's going to be Charlotte, and Charlotte will... I'll say Charlotte wins overall.
Okay, I share that prediction, so I'll go first next because I don't want to seem like I'm always agreeing.
The voice of wrestling, I don't want you to just copycat me, Kenny.
I don't copycat non-existent things, so... The Miz versus Baron Corbin. I think Baron Corbin's gonna get it on this occasion. Like, he's gonna steal this one.
I am going to disagree with you, and I'm gonna go with the Miz. I think the Miz will get a nice moment on one of the cornerstone pay per views. He's earned it, and you gotta wonder how much residual heat is on big old Bance himself, Mr. Corbs.
The men's 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series match, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Which team walks out with the win? Because both teams, Team SmackDown, they, you know, is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn going to allow Team SmackDown to get the win? Is Jason Jordan going to allow, or Kane going to allow Raw to get the win? Who is your pick?
I'm going to have to go with Team SmackDown. I think that SmackDown's going to come out victorious in this. Little bit of interference with Mr. Jason Jordan possibly screwing over his pops or Triple H, one or the other. That could be interesting. A lot of wild cards there. I think that there was a better chance of Sammy and Kevin doing something before they got suspended.
I think Team SmackDown are going to win as well, but I think Sammy and Kevin might interfere, and then we think that Raw's going to win, and then Jason Jordan gets involved.
That would be so many shenanigans. I'd be all about that. I love shenanigans in these big multi-man matches. It's fun.
I didn't think they'd be able to top last year's match, so I'm keen. Yeah. The women's 5-on-5 match, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. I think that we're going to see a victory from Team Raw with Asuka in the winning side.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Asuka's just going to dominate everybody, cut through the opposition. It's going to be really fun. If not, then, man, oh, man, women's wrestling will suffer a great blow if Asuka ends up losing her first WWE match.
And also, if they put the title on Charlotte tonight, it also avoids us having to look at Charlotte and Asuka yet, which is good. When I interviewed Asuka, you can see it on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/insidetheropes. I asked her at WrestleMania weekend, you know, when she goes up to the main roster, who does she want? And she just looked at the camera and said, Charlotte. So.
That's the big money right there. That's the big money.
The Raw Tag Champs, Cesaro and Sheamus against the SmackDown Tag Champs, the Usos. I am going to go with the Usos on this.
You say Us. I say O.
Us.
Oh!
I'm guessing that's your prediction as well. That's fine.
it's got to be, because we all know that the Shield's going over on the New Day, and you got to keep things 50-50, Kenny.
That's true. Well, yeah, I mean, yes, the Shield are going to beat the New Day. I think this could be the New Day's best match.
It's going to be the match of the night, I predict.
I think it could be up there. And then the main event, Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, the WWE Champion. Who is your prediction?
It's going to be Brock, sadly. That's just that's the way it goes, you know.
It's going to be Mr. as Finn Martin say, Lesnar. So it was going to be Brock Lesnar. Yeah, it's a stacked card. It's going to be a lot of fun. David, as we leave the lovely listeners, can you just give them your Twitter handle so they can message you and talk to you about Steam and 69s and all the other various accoutrements with which your personality brands.
Let's get rid of the 69, ladies and gentlemen. No, nobody. The problem with that is everybody's too distracted to do a good job. You know, you got too many bits everywhere. No. Just do away with that.
How many people are involved in your 69 exactly?
Well, I mean, you know, you can keep adding numbers, Kenny. You know, it can be the 69, 69, 69. You know, the 6,000. That's the 69,000. I can't even fucking do the math on it, Kenny. There's too many 69s going on. But do away with all of that. That's my advice for you guys, okay? And furthermore, all these predictions I just gave out, these are the things that I think. These aren't the voice of wrestling predictions. Because as everyone knows, you can only get the official voice of wrestling predictions on my Twitter account. That's the only place that I actually give those away. These are just what I think, not the premonitions that I receive. The premonitions, as Matt Hardy likes to say. You can find those on my Twitter handle, at ZoopSoul, ZOOPSOUL. I may wake up on Sunday afternoon and have a premonition and have to change one of my picks that I made here, Kenny. You just don't know what the gods will bestow upon me as a psychic medium, the voice of wrestling, as it were. It's not an easy job being tasked with bringing so many people happiness with my predictions, Kenny. What about you? Where can they find you? I know that you love talking about things and getting television shows spoiled for you. Where can people spoil TV shows for you?
You can get me for, I guess, sane conversation, if that's anything that's of any interest to anybody. KennyMC1985, I basically just respond to David's voice of wrestling with barf gifts if I can find any good ones. And that's pretty much how our friendship works.
Yeah, it is.
So, I'm
going to make you so much money one of these days, Kenny. Those voice of wrestling t-shirts are just going to be flying off the shelves at Hot Topic. And you're going to go.
Hot Topic?
And you're going to go. David, I love that you make me this much money. And then I will say, Kenny, I predict that you're going to love me even more next month once you see the royalty checks coming in.
Now, when you say Hot Topic, are you going to be out the back of Hot Topic in your van selling the t-shirts like Errol Hepner? Or are you going to be... Because you're certainly not going to be inside beside Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks.
I will... Well, the thing is, Kenny, here's the thing.
That only took you an hour and 7 minutes.
It's not going to be in Hot Topic. It's going to be in the Mexican knockoff version of Hot Topic, Hot Tropics. Okay, and so that's where you'll be able to find all the voice of wrestling merch, and then the Chinese knockoff version of that, Hot Topics, plural. So you can go into a Hot Topics store, or if you are in Mexico, Hot Tropics. And find the official voice of wrestling, David J. McCutcheon t-shirt.
What a world we live in that might actually be a thing one day. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. The only way to play us out is with the soothing sounds of not only Steam and not only Bananarama, but the two of them together. You're going to hear Steam singing na 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 hey hey goodbye, and then it's going to morph into Bananarama, and you let us know on social media who you prefer. I'm going to try and wash my eyes to get the visual of Steam's album covers out of my head. And David is going to go and no doubt trademark Voice of Wrestling on another forum somewhere. David, I hope you have a good week. Thank you for being on the show as always. And ladies and gentlemen, have a nice week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. Now let's jam.